Christelijke minderheden in het Midden-Oosten staan voor grote uitdagingen. In dit interview spreken we met Shadi Galul, een bekende Maronitisch-Aramese christelijke leider uit Israël, over de positie van christenen in Israël en de impact van de onrust in Libanon en Syrië. En wat betekende de oorlog met Hezbollah voor de Aramese gemeenschap in Noord-Israël? Daar gaan we het dus over hebben met Shadi Galul. Shadi, welcome in our studio. It's a pleasure to have you here. You are now for a few days in the Netherlands. What is the reason for your visit?
Okay, so thank you for inviting me, Sarah, and thanks for CFI for bringing me here for this special tour explaining about our community, our Aramaic community in Israel and in the Galilee, which is a native Christian minority that of 2% in Israel exists, most of them in Galilee. So that's the main thing of the visit, besides speaking about our life, our projects in Israel for resilience and keeping the community there and helping the community and helping Israel and Christians and Jews live together in coexistence and peace as a model for peace for others to copy it in the land.
So this is the topic of your lectures that you're giving here. So Israel has been in war already for over 20 months. Last November, there was a ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon. You live in the north of Israel, so this affects you and your community. Can you describe the situation right now in the north of Israel?
Yes, actually the last year, and let's say the October 7 war started, the last 2 years we have been suffering like all Israeli citizens from this war. Was started by Hamas, orchestrated by Iran, because they built 7 fronts, including Hamas and Hezbollah in the north. Hamas started in October 7, Hezbollah in October 8. They start firing missiles against our people and civilians in the north. And we have been suffering from that. And after Israel retaliated back, it took 1 year after everyday attack on our communities. Many people were evacuated. And now,
after 1 year, it became more quiet.
Yes, and now after Israel retaliated back and they crushed Hezbollah, and the terrorists of Hezbollah. So today the situation is quiet. It's quiet, but people still are like hesitating to return back. We know that half of the community only returned to some of the kibbutzes and moshavim in the region, the communities that close and attach to the border.
And the other half is still evacuated.
And the other half is still like evacuated because they can, first of all, you have children that are registered in school in other places. You have work that they already found. And third, that they are still not, don't believe that things are over. And so they might see more developments in the future. So they are afraid still from the situation.
And you personally, how did you experience the past 20 months of war?
It was for me not easy because at the beginning of the war I told my family to leave, to leave, and
they left and you stayed.
And I stayed because I have no other choice. I am as a leader in the community and in the Israeli Christian community, I cannot be the one who ran away. I am the one who should show them a model of resilience.
Yeah,
and
so
staying
your
there.
Family had to leave.
So my family left to Europe. And they stayed in Europe for 2 months. And once the situation was under control, I told them to come back. And we stayed during whole war, the year of war there. You know, we had interceptions of for drones and missiles above our village. We have so many attacks in our region. We have people being killed and injured in this region from missiles of Hezbollah. And finally, actually, Israel did good job on crushing them and on defeating Hezbollah to keep the to keep this threat out of our citizens.
Exactly.
And now, let's say it this way: we are recovering slowly, slowly. People trying to recover their businesses, their economy, their education system, society system. We couldn't go to church during this war. We couldn't pray as well. We were gathering under the church in a shelter in order to have prayers during this year.
So your family, your wife and children, how is it for them to run to the shelter, to be confronted with the whole threat of Hezbollah?
I tell you that the mothers, especially mothers that have a very soft hearts, I saw my mom, I give you an example, until today, if it was Memorial Day for fallen soldiers in Israel, and we were having a breakfast in the morning, and all of a sudden the siren for Memorial Day was started, and she didn't connect. Like immediately when she heard them, she
was scared.
She stood and started running to the shelter. Ah. Told her, hey, mom, come. It's not siren. It's just the Memorial Day.
So that also shows that
shows how trauma is still there in people.
Now, is Hezbollah defeated?
Hezbollah is defeated for sure, but it doesn't say that they don't have the ability to recover, and they are recovering. They try to recover, and they can still fire missiles from the storage that they have north of Litani region, not in south Litani region.
So you say they're defeated, but they're not completely destroyed.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes, and the Lebanese government has no ability actually to disarm them because they are still strong internally inside Lebanon, and they have been indoctrinated, their people and their society was indoctrinated by Hezbollah and Iran for 50 years. So now you need to change this as well.
Right.
And in order to disarm them, you need to convince them that this is not of their interest to keep holding these guns because it will threaten your community.
Yeah. So since the ceasefire started between Israel and Lebanon, have the relations between Israel and Lebanon improved since Hezbollah is now so weakened?
It didn't improve because Hezbollah is still strong in somehow.
Yeah.
Until Hezbollah is not in control of Lebanon, because Hezbollah in 50 years, he infiltrated the Lebanese system, the Lebanese government, the Lebanese political system, the Lebanese army, the Lebanese intelligence. So he's in every corner in this country. And for that, they still have influence on the decision making in Lebanon. So still, they are not free to do. But once things change in Iran, and the Iranian regime that is the supporting Hezbollah, this will have influence on Lebanon as well, and we might have a peace in the future between these countries too.
Yeah,
it was the dream of the Maronite Aramaic founders of Lebanon when they founded the state, and the Jewish Zionist regime that was founded. They had agreement in 1946 before Israel establishment to have peace between the countries.
Yeah, but nowadays there are also voices talking about an expansion of the Abraham Accords, and that maybe in the future Lebanon could be a country which could also join the Abraham Accords.
I pray for this.
Yeah, do you think that's a realistic option?
Yes.
Yeah?
I think it's
Why?
A very realistic option because between these people, there is no, actually, it shouldn't have war. Those people are so close to each other culturally, and they are neighbors, and they have open mind culture and open to the Western democratic values. Mm. They contain a very large Christian communities in Lebanon that want to see peace with Israel.
Yeah.
So based on that, and based on Arab willing to have peace with Israel, the Lebanese can join this Arab Accord, the peace agreement, and might have a peace between the country finally.
Yeah. So let's talk about Christians in Israel. So how would you describe the current situation of Christians in Israel? For example, do they feel safe? Do you feel free to express your religion and your faith?
Yeah, well, the majority of Christians, first of Israel, they live in Galilee, and that's something that people should be aware of. Mm-hmm. They live in the northern part of Israel. It's the Galilee region where Jesus spent most of his life, by the way. And we enjoy freedom. We enjoy freedom of worship. We enjoy freedom of speech. We enjoy freedom of movement, of learning what we want, of speaking what we want. We enjoying every democratic value that you in Holland mm-hmm. enjoying as a democratic society.
So Christians in Israel are free.
That we are totally, mm-hmm. entirely free to do whatever other citizens in the country does, like Arabs, like Jews, like Druze, like Bedouins, like anyone that's speaking out their minds in free, democratic, Jewish state of Israel.
Yeah, well, so, but what do you think is the biggest challenge for Christian communities in Israel?
The biggest challenge for us is the threat and increased threat of radical Islam in the region that affect also Islamic society mm-hmm. that count 20% in Israel. Mm-hmm. This might create instability in the country. This instability of the country will lead to clashes with the current security forces of Israel. Mm. This clash within Israel will also affect Christians. Mm. And this is the threat that most Christians are afraid of.
Yeah, so you say that extremist Muslims, they are
exactly.
a threat to the Christian community, but what, in generally, what is the relationship between the Maronite Christians, your community, and also and other minority communities such as Muslims, Druze, Greek Orthodox, etc., etc.?
The majority of the society in Israel, and I'm saying Israeli society, which include, it's a mosaic of different nationalities and mm-hmm. ethnicities and religious groups. We're talking about most of them are moderate people, are educated according to democratic values. They understand they have no choice than just living together in coexistence mm-hmm. and in peace. So we in most, like in majority of like the population enjoy the coexistence that exists in the mixed towns. Mm-hmm. You can see in Haifa, Druze, Jews, Arabs, Christians, and we live together perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect, beautiful coexistence.
This is the majority.
That's the majority. Mm-hmm. But in some cases where a fanatic from both sides, from mm-hmm. the Arab, which is Islamic side, or from the Jewish, which is fanatic, I'm talking about the mm-hmm. really fanatic ones, very, very tiny majority of even not 0.5%, mm-hmm. this might have clashes with each others in order to, you know, because of extremism. Mm. And that's the threat for the society.
Right.
Not the majority. The majority are against both groups and against the extremism.
Exactly, yeah. Have the relations between Muslims, Christians, Jews changed since the war started on October 7th?
Actually, 23? I see more and more Muslims understand, for example, what Israel is fighting. Mm. I was surprised that during war, that majority of Muslim community in Israel, and I'm not a Muslim, I am speaking as a Christian and Aramaic Maronite person, that I see the Muslims would better understand what happened in October 7.
Can you give an example of this? How
example
you see it?
Of this that, for example, myself, I don't want to call it afraid, but I was scared that after October 7th that many Muslims will join Hamas on their action and support them from within Israel.
Mm-hmm. Didn't happen. It
didn't happen. The opposite. We saw in the social media their comments against what happened that were so extremist against Hamas and comments that we didn't expect. And during the whole war, they kept calm and living their own life without intervening in this mm-hmm. and understanding how important to keep Israel safe yeah. for them.
What does this say? Does it show that, you know, they realize that they also need Israel to protect them?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They realize that Israel is a safe haven for them as well compared to this crazy Middle East around mm-hmm. them and this radical Islam that trying to make instability for all countries in this region, if it is radical Islam like led by Iran as a Shia Islam or as by the Ikhwan, which mm. is the Islamic Brotherhood movement that you see them also in Europe here mm. sometimes in different demonstrations.
Exactly.
This yeah. is what Israeli Christian Jews and Muslims understand, that these are threat.
These are
like
threat,
and
threat.
Hamas was a threat And we enjoyed this stability from within, which guarantee for us actually the tranquility mm-hmm. to keep knowing that our society is actually a good society and have good values.
Yeah, let's zoom in on your community, the Aramaic community, from which you are the leader. To what extent are Aramaic Christians in Israel involved in, for example, public debate, politics, decision making? To which extent are you really part of the society?
Okay, so the Aramaic community, just for people to know, are very ancient people that are Semitic people who the Jews themselves developed from it, by the way, like Leah, Rachel, Rebecca, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. We're all of Aramaic origins. And then from them we have the Israelites. And these people existed in the Middle East, and they have different Aramaic kingdoms from Lebanon to Syria to Iraq. All this region was inhabited by them. We still exist under a Syriac Aramaic churches that all are Antiochian churches, the Church of Antioch. And we exist in North Israel as well. And as a people, we were recognized by Israel in 2014, September 2014, the first state that recognized us as Aramaic people. And thanks for Israel understanding, because they know the Bible. They know that we were mentioned in the Bible as a people, and we still exist as a Christian population, as native Christians, the first followers of Jesus in the land.
Yeah.
And they cannot deny it. So they accepted that.
Are you also involved in public debate, in political things in Israel?
I was, after being first goal achieved, which is recognition of our people in Israel, I continued to the politic in 2015. So I led a movement which called the Free Christian Voice in Israel, and I joined a Zionist Jewish party, and it was called Israel Bitenu, and I was number 11 in the list, representing Christian needs in Israel, talking about it freely, expressing my thoughts, and leading my society and my community toward full integration within the state of Israel, to help this state keep staying strong and safe for us as Christians, because if we live safely in this place, we want also to have contribution to the state, to contribute to keep it safe and secure for us.
Yeah, and your community also has a lot of activities which are also partly sponsored by Christians for Israel. So why is it so important to enforce the identity of the Aramaic Christians in Israel?
First of all, I want to thank Christians for Israel for helping us. They are helping us with the Aramaic educational summer camp for the children, for the youth. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do it. They are helping us to establish Aramaic Center. They are helping us with with their support to establish Aramaic school, first Aramaic school in Israel, which will change future generations. I believe very, very, very much in education. Education is number one for changing the future and society.
Exactly.
And they are helping us as well to build the first Aramaic Christian Maronite town in Israel. This is what Christian for Israel is doing for us with other partners that we have from the evangelical world, Catholic world, Jewish world, and all people who love to see peace and coexistence, because we are agents of peace at the end. And succeeding on those projects will make even Muslims that were violent before believing that in dialogue and in peace and positive Christian engagement as they did it, we can also succeed. We don't need to send our kids to fight. Mm. We can send them to be a peace model as well and follow
to
those
live together.
Christians.
Yeah.
That's the success of our model.
Right.
That's why it's important to succeed. And we are trying to lobby the Israeli government also to help us and step with good decisions to build the first school and Aramaic town.
Okay, let's zoom out a little bit.
Yes.
Because we talked previously about Lebanon. I want to go into that again, because given that the Maronite Church has deep roots in Lebanon, Do you see yourself as a Maronite Christian? Do you see yourself as culturally or historically tied, connected to Lebanon?
Oh, so much. I am connected to Lebanon. Look, Lebanon cannot exist without Maronites. If there's no Maronites, no Lebanon. It's the same thing. If there's no Jews, no Israel. Maronite and Lebanon are one. Mm-hmm. And Lebanon was created by the Maronites. And I am, as a Maronite citizen of Israel and proud, loyal citizen of the state of Israel and patriotic citizen of the
state of Israel. But still, you feel connected to Lebanon.
I still connect to Lebanon, to Maronite Lebanon.
Yeah.
Not to Lebanon as a hostile state and terrorist state that accept Hezbollah to fight Israel. Mm. I am with Lebanon that have peace with Israel.
Exactly. But do Arameans in Lebanon aspire to have an independent state in Lebanon?
They were inspired. They did it, but it was hijacked by some forces in the region, starting from the 70s by Arafat and the Palestinian terror organization PLO that went there, start slaughtering Christians and wanted to start with the Christians and continue with the Jews in Israel.
But do they still have the wish for an independent state?
They do have a wish to have not independent, but to have a federal state. Mm-hmm. Federal state like in Switzerland, like in Belgium, for example. In Belgium, it's closest to you in Holland. You have a Flemish, you have a French.
Yeah.
It's a federal system. In the Flemish, they teach their language, they teach their culture, they have their own needs. In the French side, the same thing, but they are all together in one country. That's the system that might work for Lebanon, because Lebanon has different communities, like Maronites have Aramaic language, Aramaic culture, history, identity with the Phoenicians and with all this, while the Muslims has more attached to Islam and Arabs. Mm-hmm. And this cannot work together if you impose Arabic on the Maronites or
the other way on
the Muslims.
Yeah.
So the best system is federal system, confederations where each one has its own uniqueness, and still living together in coexistence in one country.
Yeah, but this is not the situation today.
That's not the situation.
No.
Hopefully the Maronites are pushing there.
Yeah, maybe
now,
in the future it will
And
happen,
hopefully in the future, after having peace now, after these wars, maybe we'll have peace and we'll have a changed regime in Lebanon.
Yeah, let's go to Syria, because in the past month also Syria has been in the news because of the fact that the regime of Bashar al-Assad fell. What did it change for the Aramaic community in Syria? Because there is also still a small Aramaic Christian community there.
Well, it's very complicated, Syria, for our community, because before the regime change, it wasn't good. They lived there just to, you know, as eating and drinking, and they're really not being an effective community because they oppressed their voice. And they, the Assad regime tried to actually appease the majority of radical Muslims in the regions. And they actually didn't enjoy what they should under this secular Arab fanatic pan-Arabist regime. In this case, when the regime was changed, we didn't have either a good future under it, because it's Islamic radical regime. Might be that the leadership are more pragmatic, but the people around this leadership that are infiltrated this system or were joining this system from ISIS, from Al-Qaeda, from Jabhat al-Nusra, and all the Islamic Ikhwan or Brotherhood movements that are implanted in this regime are very, very aggressive toward Christians, toward minorities, toward Alawites. And the Christians, we heard about so many cases of hijacking girls, kidnapping girls, killing priests, killing people, taking jizya, tax protection from them. In many cases, in Homs, in Aleppo, in the west coast of the region of Wadi Nasara, in the Damascus region, Bab Tuma, we heard of those cases, but nobody can't do anything until now.
So specifically about your community, the Aramaic community, are they safe under the new regime, or is it just a question about how things are going to evolve?
It's not that they are safe. For now, they're living, they are a very small minority, like as a minority, not causing the regime any obstacle. They try to tell the regime, we live here, we agree.
They want to be
anything.
Quiet.
We are quiet, don't like attack us. But at the end, we hear like some voices from the military personnel of this regime saying, don't worry, your time will come. That's very sad, because you are not doing anything wrong. You're not trying to fight this regime. You're not trying to do anything to it. And they tell you, your time will come. Why they tell you that? Only because you're Christian? Only because you are Aramaic? That's one. Second, we are the indigenous people of Syria. Why they don't recognize our identity and language? Why they don't allow us to teach the Aramaic language for our people in Syria and in Lebanon? Why? Because why they try to impose on us Arab identity and Arab language?
Yeah. I want to go to the future, because we're getting to the end of our interview. How do you see the near future for Israel and specifically for your community?
Well,
positive?
I think that Israel now is the final stage of war. We were under existential war. That's what the world don't understand. We look at this war as we exist or we don't exist. And for this, we are willing to do anything possible to take away any threat and risk that exists. After this war, we will have peace within the region, and we will have better place for all of us in the Middle East.
Including the minorities.
Include minority of Aramaic and Christians and Muslims and Jews, to live in better place where everyone understand each other and have peace with each other.
Last question. What can we pray for?
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need it today more than ever. Pray for the peace of our people in Lebanon too, the Aramaic, Christian, and Maronite communities, and Syriac Orthodox and Syriac Maronites, because we need to strengthen them in their lands and have a peace with Israel and be a model of coexistence that can be copied by other nations.
Shadi Kalul, thank you for coming to our studio.
Thank you.
En u thuis ook bedankt voor het kijken naar deze uitzending van Christen voor Israël. En u kunt betrokken blijven en op de hoogte blijven over de actualiteit in Israël. Ga daarvoor naar onze website cvi.nl/actueel. Daar vindt u heel regelmatig nieuwe artikelen en ook deze uitzendingen en onze podcasts terug. Nogmaals, veel dank voor het kijken en graag tot de volgende keer.